She's still in my notes. All right, well, it comes that time for our talker tonight. And I've had the pleasure of knowing him for years in class and have seen him just transform in so many ways. And he always has such inspiration for all of us. And you only get to see him, I think, I'm going to have to give him a hard time when he's talking, it seems like. But we miss him when he's not around here, and he has such a loving kindness about him, and he's truly a gift to all of us. So would you guys please welcome George Thorne.
At 6:30 this morning, I was in Sedona, Arizona. We were working up there in Sedona and Flagstaff, and I was supposed to stay for two more days. And they said, "George, where are you going?" I said, "Well, I have a date with this very special lady." And when she says, "You will do this," you know, whatever she says, I do. Don't tell her, but I also do it because I love her very much. And if I had to, I'd rather than take a bus and a plane, I'd walk. I probably would. I also want to talk to you tonight about one of the reasons I'm here, something that's very, very important to me. And it's the first time I got to tell you this is an experiment for me. I've spoken here many times. And my background's in writing. I do a lot of writing. And I always write my talks out and finesse the words and do this and that. I'm not doing that tonight. And I'm not doing it for a reason. It's because I want to talk from my heart and I want to talk from God about something that has totally transformed and shaped my life. As some of you may know, and many of you don't, I've been on a journey to become a spiritual counselor, and I'm now a licensed one. And it's taken... Thank you. It's 2 years of formal classes and 2 years to get into the program. And I want to share with you in a few minutes what I've learned in 4 years, but don't get scared because I know how to say it in 25 words because we had to learn it. And I also want to share with you a little bit about what brought me on my journey. And as we all know, I also would like to talk about the greatest God story I've ever been a part of. So with that... I am a spiritual counselor, a licensed practitioner in a church that's actually very similar to this called Science of Mind, Religious Science. And basically it's about three things. It's very simple and very profound. God is all there is. I am part of God. And because of what I know, I have the choice in the thoughts that I use to live the life that I want. Milly terms, watch your words, watch your thoughts, watch your actions. But not only watch them, but how you use them and how you create them, you can create the life that you want. And I've seen this in my life and other lives. I've gone through a lot of stuff a lot of people know about. And I always talk about it, and it's actually rather embarrassing to talk about some of it. But I do it to show you that if I can get through a lot of stuff, a lot of other people can too. And 27 years ago, I stood up on a platform and said, "My name's George and I'm an alcoholic." I've gone through drugs. Found out I was abused when I was a kid. About 10 years of post-traumatic stress syndrome. A whole bunch of stuff. And I will stand here today and tell you I'm the most blessed man alive. I truly am. And a lot of this journey that I've been on began with this lady over here. And I walked into her church, and she said, "I promise you, even though we've all heard it 1,000 times, the very worst words out of her mouth were, 'George, God is love.'" And no one had ever said that to me before. I always thought of God. God is, I like to say, is Charlton Heston sitting on a cloud playing the harp. But it's not. And I think one of the biggest things that I've learned is that there's a passage in the Bible Millie could tell you where, that says, you know, God created man in his image, but we've turned that around. The God, we've created God in our image, and it's not the truth. God created us in his image. So what does that mean? It means that we're part of God. And that is where the focus of my work is in my spiritual counseling. A gentleman behind it, Millie knows who he is, and I think you've told me Reverend Ida knew. Yeah. Knew the man behind this. And he lived at a time when Freud and Adler, considered two of the modern fathers of modern psychology, were alive. The name of the gentleman, by the way, is Ernest Holmes. And he said, of these men, he said, they're mechanics. They know how to fix the car, but they don't know what makes the car start. And meaning, and that's very, very important. Because what so much of psychology about and therapy is about is finding out what's wrong with you. And by leaving out the dimension of spirituality, by leaving out God, one, they're denying the biggest part of who we are. And if we're part of God, then we're also good. And I work with people to help find out what's right with them, not what's wrong with them. And that's not exactly the way it is today. We label everybody. On TV, everybody has a label. We're a neurotic. We're a narcissistic. We're this, we're that. How about we're God's children? We're one of God's children. We're good. It's interesting, this religion, church, way of thought, actually it's part of a whole thing called New Thought, and it was very close to spiritualism in the 1800s. And it was a very exciting time in the United States. There was a lot of exploration and a lot of growth and a lot of very progressive spiritual thinking. And one of the teachers there, her name was Emma Curtis Hopkins, and her whole focus is that the greatest name for God is good. They called her the teacher of teachers. She taught all the others. The greatest name for God is good. And I happened about a week ago to get into a discussion with a good friend of mine, but he's very strict Christian fundamentalist. I mean no disrespect at all. But he kept talking about God as a judgmental God. I said, my God is a God of love. My God is a God of good. I believe God wants everything good for us and that we're expressions of God. And I've watched people transform. I've watched people change when they know that. And just for a second, how many in this room, raise your hands, think they are part of God? That's what I thought. Very good. If we own that, many people would say the only real sin is that we forget that. Is that we think there's separation between us and God, and there isn't. And for me, I have to work at that every day to remind myself of that, that I am part of God. But when I work with people, I always hold up a glass and I say, let's pretend for a second that God created everything in this glass. The mountains, the rivers, the oceans, the streams. Are you in the glass or are you out of the glass? And a lot of people will say, well, I know I ought to be in the glass, but I'm really, you know. And my goal is, once I can get them to see that they're in the glass, it's downhill. Because that's where the love is. And we talk about self-image and loving ourselves. I've gone through a lot. And there is nothing that I believe more profoundly than what Millie says is God is love, and that we're part of that. I work with a man on and off, has terrible alcoholism. I've actually worked with him when he has a quart of alcohol in him. And one night, but he has such tremendous capacity to hold it, unfortunately, that he talks very lucid. And he was telling me why he didn't believe in God. George, the Bible's always, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I asked him if he loved his children. and two daughters, and I knew he did. He said, more than life. I said, that's God. And this man with a fifth of vodka in him got very quiet. And he began to take it in, what that meant. And while he still drinks, that's the only thing he has in his life, and that's the first thing that he would tell you. So to me, it's one thing to know that there's God, and that has been my journey. Because most of my life, I didn't believe in it. I didn't believe in God at all. I had a philosophy teacher in college many years ago who said, all the miracles, all that stuff happened 2,000 years ago when people were ignorant and illiterate. No wonder there were miracles. And I bought it. I bought the whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel, for most of my life. Part of which, when I was standing above the platform and saying, my name's George, I'm an alcoholic. I didn't know what love was. I didn't know how it felt. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what God was. And one day I was at the beach walking along, and I saw the birds flying in formation. And I saw the porpoise going in a single row. And then I saw the waves coming in and out. And I thought, this is a system. There's a plan to this. There's reason to this. There's order to this. This is a system. There's intelligence to this. And it began to change me. And not that long afterward, I had the honor to meet this woman, whom I'm going to call two things, the two words that she hates. She is a master, and she is a psychologist, and she hates both of them. But she's my master. And she's just shown me, because she exemplifies what love is. She lives it. And if any of you, and I know many of you have, the opportunity to take her classes, you know what I'm talking about. It's truly amazing. And why I'm sharing this again with you is that I believe so much in this that Millie's terms, we're all bubbles of God. But if we really look at that, what that means and the power of it, I believe that we're an expression of God. God created us for his own expansion, for his own growth. And as such, God wants what is good for us and to live that. And when we know that and we own that, we can transform our lives. I've had the privilege of working with a young man who's a friend of my son's, and for a couple of months now. He's an extraordinary young man. He was in high school, he's 29. In high school, he was a All-American water polo player. Tremendous, tremendous athlete. And has always been very physical, done a lot of things. And 3 years ago, he was in a boating accident where he had on steel-tipped shoes and he slipped in a boat. Lori knows him. And he's practically paralyzed. This very athletic man. He can hardly move. He can hardly walk. And I've been working with him for quite a while. And I said, I'm not going to work with you on your physical. I want to work with you on some other things. And we just started talking, as I try to do with people, ask him if he was in the glass or out of the glass. He didn't have any idea what I was talking about then. But little by little, it started to make sense to him. And he had a picture of himself on Facebook, not a picture of himself. He had a caricature of a cartoon of an 80-year-old man with a walker. And I said, get rid of that now. Because as you think, so you will believe. That's the essence of what. And so every week we'd say prayers. And he's never had this. And I'd start saying that God is within him, that he has the power to heal. And this last Saturday, I met with him. And he said, Mr. Thorne, and this is not about me, not 1%. Please understand this. He said, Mr. Thorne, for the first time, twice this week, I was able to not use my walker. I feel, and I told my doctor, I'm not going to have any more surgeries. And I feel like I've had about 5% of healing. Well, if he has 5% now, he'll have but it's all what he's come to understand about himself and see about himself, the truth of who he is. That there's a classic saying that most of you have heard, we're not human beings on a spiritual journey, but spiritual beings on a human journey. And a lot of us think that that came from Wayne Dyer. It came from a Deep Rock Catholic priest in the 1800s before they threw him out of the church. But to own that, to really own that we are part of God, is extraordinary. Now, that might, I don't know if that sounds different to you or foreign to you, but I remind you of a wonderful song that is sung all the time in Millie's classes. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. And what I'm saying to you, this is 4 years worth of work. If you accept that in yourself, if you truly open your heart and accept those words into yourself, is that that's the truth of who you are. The life that you can live is beyond your wildest imagination. Because I will tell you, the only enemy any of us have in this room is the things we're telling ourselves. We're our only enemy. Reverend Millie said one time, and I've quoted her 100 times, Christ had to carry his own cross to the crucifixion. Then she looked at all of us and said, what cross are you carrying on your back? We all have something. We've all been through something. We all go through something. What do we choose to do about it? Do we choose to be the victim? Do we choose to overcome it? Do we choose to see ourselves in love, that we're good? Or what do we... The first thing I ask people when I work with them is to write down what you say about yourself every day for a week. You can't believe it. Then I ask them, who else would you talk to that way? Who else would you say those horrible things to? Try for a day to say good things to you. Try for a day to see that you're a child of God. Try for a day to see the good in you. And then do it for 2 days and 3 days. And pretty soon it will become a way of life. To acknowledge that this is who you are and this is who God intends for you to be. So, as a consequence of all of this, I am in the process of working with a web designer. I'm going to do a blog and I'm going to write a lot about this. Because I honestly believe this is the only issue in the world. Is that we don't know that we're part of God. Because when we know that we're part of God, there's no hate, there's no anger, there's no depression, there's no problems. Because it's all about love. But we don't, we forget that. And several years ago when my son graduated from college, a young lady who was the valedictorian of the college stood up and said, I want to share something with you. And a saying, it's a Tibetan saying, and this is the name of my blog, and it's called Tashi Dele. It's a Tibetan saying of greeting, and it means I honor the greatness within you. And that's what I want to call my blog, because I want people, what if we all looked at each other that way, that we all saw each other as part of the divine, that we all see each other as a holy child of God, as we see ourselves as a holy child of God, this world would change like that. I believe there would be no war, that we would share food with those who didn't have it, that we would... Millie has another... You notice I keep bringing her up. She has a few of these. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but how are you doing unto you? What are you doing unto you? I think most people do treat others the way we do ourselves, and it's not very nice, because that's how we treat ourselves. We're horrible to ourselves. I worked with one young man who, when he wrote down his list, the last thing on his list was, I'm so sad. I'm so pathetic. I don't even deserve being able to file bankruptcy. I worked with another woman who said, she's a caregiver. She said, my job is to be at the end of the parade with the broom sweeping up. When you look at your life through that lens, that is what you're going to get. That is what you're going to get. So I guess for me, my message is, we can look at religion, we can look at God, we can look at the Bible at an arm's length and say, you know, and quote the sayings and all the passages, etc. But if we take in and breathe in, the word inspired, by the way, means breathe in, God. If we take that into our heart and feel it and actually own those words, it will transform your life. I promise you, because I've been there, I've done it for myself, and it's something I still have to work on every single day, every single day. So in closing, I would like to suggest something a little unusual. I would like you to say the words with me twice to the song, I feel the love of God in you. Will you do that with me? I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. One more time. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. Thank you very much.
That was great, George. That was so good.
That's all.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing thoughts. And you did so good, not even having to write it down. Your words were perfect.
I must like to talk a lot.
God likes to use you a lot. That's what it is.